Well, hello and good afternoon. Each week I get to go, well, apart from when I was restricted to the studio, to someone's garden and have a look around. And I've always felt privileged to be in someone's garden. But this particular week, I'm sitting in the kitchen of a celebrity. I'm here with John and his wife, Anne Menzel. And we are going to be talking about John's passion and love and his influence in the gardening world. You are tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM. My name is Scott, and I'm the roving reporter out here at Winky, at John Menzel's garden, and this is Life in the Garden. One of the things that I'm really interested in is, why do people enjoy their gardens so much? And often it does come down to a heritage, and John is no exception. So where did your love of gardening commence, John?
I think the seed was sown when I used to go for summer school holidays with my grandmother at Yidunda. In her garden, she grew the most magnificent, huge, big dahlias. And that's when I was about 8 or 9. And then as the years went by, I managed to actually track down the one that she grew, which I thought, when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, they were huge. But now, by today's standard, they're only small. But that was the thing that it did start. And then my other grandfather at Loxton, he was into vegetables, and he was the town gardener for Loxton for a long time. And I actually remember when the roundabout in Loxton was first built, I used to mow it for him.
So there's heritage on both sides there. Grandma at Yidunda and Grandpa at Loxton. So from Grandpa, working for the council, Murray was telling us the other day, if you want to be able to know what to do with your roses or with whatever is growing around town, ask a council gardener. And John's grandfather is a perfect example of the information and the heritage and what you can find and what you can learn from asking a council gardener, because John's benefiting from all that. But from Grandma, he was able to develop a love of the dahlia. I'm going to hand over to John. So how did your dahlia growing, the Winky way, how did all that commence?
There was a very, very senior Riverland gardener that told me something like 40, 45 years ago, "Johnny boy, you'll never grow dahlias in the Riverland." And anyway, the rest is history, because we found a way of it being able to be done, and anybody can now do it. Okay, in my late 20s or so, whatever it was, I thought, well, I'm going to grow some dahlias like Grandma did, you know. So I bought 20, and that was all good, and only 7 grew. And I thought, whoops, there's something wrong here. So anyway, the following year, we bought some more. We done something a bit different. And then I found out over the years that it is very, very simple, because if you can grow tomatoes, you can grow dahlias.
Didn't know that.
It is that simple. There was a very, very senior Riverland gardener that told me something like 40, 45 years ago, "Johnny boy, you'll never grow dahlias in the Riverland." And anyway, the rest is history, because we found a way of it being able to be done, and anybody can now do it.
What a wonderful story.
And then I got into breeding, and that's the most beneficial, most rewarding thing one could ever, ever do, because anybody can go to a show and get a first prize. You can get a champion or you can get a grand champion, but that's a one-off on the day, out of the blue thing. But if you can breed one that has done that, that is even more rewarding, because if you can go into a show and find out that you got a grand champion with something that I bred, that really adds to it. And that kicked us off in, what was it, 88 or something. That's when we developed our flagship, the big red one, and that is now won not just by us, but by other people. It's won grand champions in every state in Australia, but the biggest one was in 2004 at the American National Show in Seattle. It got bloom of the show, and we happened to be there, and that was quite an experience.
Now, John, you're talking about breeding and cultivating and maybe even designing your own adelias. Now, I've got your book in front of me. It's open at page 126, and I'd like to read something out. And there's a magnificent photo underneath. Let me read out what it says here. A dream comes true. My greatest aim has been to breed new cultivars, and the dream came true in 2015 when my entry of, in italics, All Winkies won the number one championship at the Victorian State Show. So, John, could you please tell us a little bit about, you know, how your dream came true and a bit about breeding?
Right, yeah, the dream come true bit, that was something it's been stated. It's never been done before and it's not likely to be done again, of being able to stage 18 flowers as one entry against all comers. Now, that's against all the blokes in Melbourne and along the coast and what have you. And they were all dahlias that were bred here in Winkie. And that was an absolute highlight of the whole breeding thing that we've ever had. And that was just fantastic.
So if you recall, the whole ethos of this show, Life in the Garden, is so we, Riverlanders, can grow things here and grow them successfully. So not quite sure if you just caught that, but John was talking about where these flowers are supposed to grow the best in Australia, where you are able to grow the best specimens. And John put in an entry of 18 flowers that he grew and cultivated here in the Riverland, and he took the show by storm, took the first prize. What a magnificent effort. Thank you, John. You are tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM. You are listening to Life in the Garden. My name is Scott, and we will be right back after a short break to talk more with John. Welcome back. Of course, you are tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM. This is Life in the Garden, and we are having a wonderful time out here, having conversations with John and his wife Anne is here, John Menzel, out here at Winkie. Now, to further discuss the breeding of dahlias, John has more to share with us.
Yeah, as I say, it is one of the most rewarding things around, and people ask me, how many different cultivars or different varieties have you bred? That's well in excess of 200. I've lost count. But the highlight of that one is that we've got 54 cultivars that have been bred in Winkie that have won major awards all over Australia. And the highlight is when I see somebody else growing something that was bred in Winkie and it's gone grand champion, I get just as much satisfaction out of that, if not more, than if we put it on the bench.
Absolutely. I can understand that. We have a saying in our household with our children that our ceiling is supposed to be their floor, their platform from where they grow, where they go. So you're saying there, John, that you get absolute delight in breeding a cultivar that does extremely well. But when some other gardener picks up your cultivar and they grow it and they do such a good job that they win a first prize, that gives you an even greater thrill.
Oh, yes. The breeding is not all that real simple. We'll sow a big heap of seeds, and the ratio is something like about 400 seedlings that will grow, and after about 3 or 4 years, we'll keep one really good one. So you can imagine how many seedlings we've grown, dug up and chucked away over the years to get the cream of the crop.
Did you just say you grow 400 seedlings to get one?
Yes, that is about the ratio of getting a good one, and I mean one that's going to rub shoulders with the best of what else is in its particular class.
We want to talk about the book now, and Malcolm Campbell of Gardening Australia fame has said, quote, "This is the best book that he has ever seen about dahlias in Australia." And it's from our own backyard, here, right here in Winkie. How fantastic is that? Now, if you want a copy of this book, you can easily get in touch with John. And the way to do it is through his website. So that's www.winkiedahlias.com. So that's winkiedahlias.com. And you can get in touch with John through that website for this book. And sometimes people ask the question, well, how long did it take you to put the book together, John? I love his answer for that.
Yeah, well, I get asked that at various speaking places around the world and what have you. And I think it was an American that asked me, how long did it take you to do the book? And I said, well, I started on the Tuesday night, and on the Wednesday morning, I took it to the printer. And they went, oh, really? And then I said, oh, but sorry, I forgot to tell you there was 5 or 6 years between the Tuesday and the Wednesday.
That's absolutely true. It's an absolute work of love from the heart, and it's all here, all the information you need. Now, the inspiring thing for me is that you can grow what you love here in the Riverland if you learn the secrets, if you learn not so much the tricks, but just how to go about it. And it's a magnificent thing. Dahlias in Australia. We have to draw this episode to a close, but graciously, John and Anne, they will allow me to come back to their beautiful house here and their magnificent rose garden. When it's in bloom, we'll have some snaps of that. And there's a lot more for us to learn about growing dahlias here in the Riverland. I just want to thank you both, John and Anne. It's been an absolute delight. You are both national treasures. Sometimes it's good to have a vision of summer, even though at the moment, of course, we are in the heart of winter. And for this, I'd like to thank Robert Bridges. I know that if odour were visible, as colour is, I'd see the summer garden in rainbow clouds. I'm Scott, and we will be back after this short break. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah states something that's on God's heart. There is still medicinal ointment available in Gilead. We know it as the balm of Gilead. And Jesus says something very similar to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. Get for yourself ointment for your eyes, medicinal ointment for your eyes, so that you can see. What a treasure and a delight gardens give to us, medicinal ointment. Good afternoon again, and it's my absolute delight, as always, to be in the Earthworks here with Di Marshall. We've got some beautiful, colourful flowers that Di wants to talk to us about right now, so I'll hand straight over to Di.
Hello, Scott. I would like to just touch on some colour today because we've had a few days in a row where we didn't get very much sun at all, and I think we all need cheering up on those kind of days, and what better way to do than have some flowers. Flowers make you happy, and the more flowers you have, the happier you will be. So let's go for that. Pansies are looking fabulous at the moment, especially the Carrington range in potted colour. Some of the flowers would be at least 10 centimetres across. They are absolutely huge. In shades of blue on blue, you've got a dark blue centre with a lighter blue outside, and purple and whites and oranges, and the vibrant yellow and purple and yellow, just purple, just blue, just red. I guess they could be classified as crow's colours, but we won't go where the footy goes because I'm a Port supporter. But anyway, I think you can't go wrong with pansies, and if you've been hesitant about planting pansies in the frost, don't worry. They just brush the frost off when the sun comes up and continue on their merry way. So they are one plant that won't get frosted. And the same goes with polyanthus. They're fantastic. And the polyanthus flowers are a flat trumpet kind of flower. They probably are about 5 centimeters across, 4 to 5 centimeters across, and a single flower, and they all flower in clumps. So you have about 10 flowers on the one plant at any given time. Oh, maybe I'm exaggerating. Some I've only got 5, but it's still quite showy. Polyanthus are great for this time of the year. Another potted colour. It's not really a flowery plant, but it is called ornamental kale. And ornamental kale comes in shades of dark purple and with a grey-green leaf, and also in shades of white and purple and green. If you just want a tough, hardy plant, it's in the cabbage kind of family, the brassica, but gee, they really put out a punch and they last for ages. You can have those in for a couple of years and they will keep on looking splendid for you. So that's ornamental kale mixed with some polyanthus and obviously some pansies, and you will be set for colour all through the rest of winter into spring.
Well, we've come down now down to the back of the nursery, and there's bins all over the place, orange picking bins, full of trees. Well, I'll hand straight back over to Di, and she can explain the importance of trees for us and the benefits and everything delightful about trees.
Thank you, Scott. Well, once again, trees are very important for our landscape. In the summer, we all look for the shadiest tree in the car park. It keeps your car nice and cool. So just imagine that there must be 10 degrees cooler under a shady tree. So if you surround your house with shady trees, and the best ones to go for are the deciduous varieties, so that they will let all this gorgeous winter sunlight into your house and warm up your house for free, and then provide you with the shelter in the summer and cool your house for free. So what more could you want? And you know what they say? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, and the second best time is right away and now. So I'm going to go through a couple of very classic, easy to grow trees in the Riverland. You can't beat the claret ash. The claret ash is a beautiful shade tree, shape of an umbrella. It has that classic kind of shade where you can get lots of cars or just sit under and enjoy the shade. And to top it off, they grow to about maybe 10, 12 metres tall max. They have the most gorgeous coloured foliage in the autumn. They go a deep claret colour, so very, very sought after tree and tough and hardy. All the ones that I'm going to discuss are great for around here. And the Chinese elm variety Todd is another variety that is outstanding performer in the Riverland. You'll find that the councils have started putting in Chinese elm, and you'll find that variety is the Todd variety. Now, Chinese elms grow to possibly around roughly 10 metres tall, with a good spread of about 10 metres as well. So very classic, hardy, tough shade tree. One of my favourites is the ornamental pears, the Pyrus variety, or the Manchurian pears. And the Manchurian pear is planted all through Nuriupta's main street, and that's gorgeous in the summer and autumn, and especially summer, autumn and spring. They have a lovely white blossom in flower, and they don't tend to set any fruit, which is great because these are the ornamental variety and you don't need the fruit on it. But you get upright varieties called Capital, which grow to about 3 metres wide by about 10 metres tall, and have a beautiful orange, bright, vivid orange foliage in the autumn. But in the summer and spring and summer, they are a nice, rich, dark, shiny green. So very luscious looking. And that's more of a hedging tree or around the border. It would probably what I would classify as a border plant, more so because of its upright nature. If you wish to have a spreading nature, the Pyrus Glens form or Chanticleer will be perfect for you. These have a pyramidal type of growth habit. The colours are the same in the autumn. They go that lovely dark reddy-orange colour, but they grow to about 5 to 6 metres wide and all upright to about 10. So they're a great shade tree to have in your garden. The roots aren't going to interfere around your house. And also, the next one that I love is the Prunus nigra. If you're after a small shade tree with purple foliage all year round, you will find that the Prunus nigra is ideal. It's a lovely umbrella-shaped tree, beautiful blossom in the springtime. It gets masses of flowers, absolutely covered with these gorgeous pink flowers, and then they burst into the deep burgundy dark foliage, and that remains all through the summer and autumn. So they don't change colour in the autumn. And you also get an upright version of it called Prunus nigra, Oakfield Crimson Spire. And that grows to about only a couple of metres wide and about 6 metres tall. So that's another border plant that you can use, or driveway plant or something like that. There's just a few trees that you can use in your garden and create the shelter and an attractive place for birds to come and be in your garden and enjoy the shade in this summer and the beautiful heat and warmth of the winter sun. Thank you.
Thank you, Di, for that magnificent tour through the flowers and for that wonderful information about trees. You are tuned into 1007 Riverland Life FM. You are listening to Life in the Garden. That brings us to the conclusion of yet another show here on 1007 Riverland Life FM. Of course, I'd like to thank deeply John and Anne Menzel and Di Marshall from the Earthworks, and of course Heather Saunders for editing and putting this show together. And until next week, please do enjoy your life in the garden.